As you all know, as I think you all know, the yeshiva is booming, Baruch Hashem. And I don't mean just the elementary school, which is really booming. You know, people coming out from Miami and from New York in droves in terms of applying to our school. You know, new people come down because of COVID, because of taxes, who knows, a lot of different reasons. But not just that, the Beis Medrash is booming. The Beis Medrash that you guys all feel a part of, I think everyone here is a Beis Medrash alumnus. And you all feel part of it. You have a lot to be proud of because, you know, we have, oh, I think 20 guys in Rabbi Winter Shir, which is the first year Shir. The upper Shirim is still suffering from the last couple of years when we had a little bit of a hard time before we finalized officially Rabbi Sharfman's at South position. Winter's doing a fantastic job. The guys love him. That's just a little state of the union address, a report I'm giving you guys. So I hope you don't mind. I'm not trying to avoid talking about the Hashgacha. Well, let me get straight to that. So please, both, I take pride in the yeshiva. We're all very excited. We hope we'll have 20 kids in the first year next year, and maybe 15, 20 in the second year, and I'll build this stuff up. Baruch Hashem. So we're excited about the future. Okay, let me share with you a couple things which I think they're related. They're all similar, but a couple ideas which I think are crucial for a Ben Torah to feel and to work on. You know, we believe in Mussar, and I don't mean just in terms of being a nice guy. I'm talking about in terms of going ahead and working on oneself, working on one's hashkafa, one's perspective of life and the purpose of life and the meaning of life, and how one sees perspective of everyday happenings. I might as well listen. I think you have to start with a chazal, right? You can't do it without a chazal, am I correct? That's the rule of the yeshivas nowadays, right? I think that's correct. So just in this past week's parasha, we had the famous Rashi, Vayeshev Yaakov. The Rashi says, and I quote, I have one of my cards over here, right? Bikesh Yaakov Reishev B'Shalva. So Yaakov wanted to go ahead and relax a little bit, right? He lived a long life. He's not a youngster anymore. He wasn't as young as Reuben is or as I am. You know, we're youngsters, but he was an old man by that time. And what happened? So he wanted to relax a little. Not such a tough life. Kafas all of Rogzo Shal Yosef, so the wrath of Yosef, the whole situation with Yosef being sold, you know, was thrown upon him, jumped upon him. Says of Baruch Hu Tzadikim Vakshim Reishev B'Shalva. Hashem says, you know, Tzadikim want to, you know, live in an easy time, so to speak. Hashem says, Lo Dayan Tzadikim Ma'ashem Mesukun Lahem Om Haba. You know, it's not sufficient that which is prepared for them Om Haba. They want to have Elam Hazel also. What's with these guys? Come on. You know, Hashem says, get it right. Get it straight. So I saw Reb Simcha Zisel. The author of Kelm says an unbelievable thing. Yeah, he has like two kashas, basically. He said, I don't understand. He said, first of all, Yaakov, he wants to be Yosef B'Shalva. What do you think that meant? I guarantee I'll tell you what it did not mean. It didn't mean he wanted to go retire to Miami Beach. You know, she was to come down and make fun of all the people, the retirees. They come down, they look forward to go play shuffleboard on the boardwalk, you know, near the by the hotels and by the beach, have a good time. You shuffle the board back and forth. After about 4 or 5 months, they get sick and tired of it. That's not what Yaakov wanted to do. He didn't want to retire and play shuffleboard or play chess or whatever, or go do video games. He wanted to retire, so to speak, from the hardships and learn, do mitzvahs, work on his midos, on his chesed, whatever it was. That's what he wanted to do. What's so terrible about that, you know? And furthermore, he says, and Yaakov, you know, had a very, you know, tough life. You know, all the different things there. You have Esav and Lavan and Dinah and the Sarshal Esav, all the things he had to deal with all the days of his life, like Genugshein. What's so terrible? He says, I don't want all those crazy situation anymore. What's so terrible? That's from Simcha Zisel Kasha. So terrorist is Yosef, Yaakov made a little bit of a mistake. Okay, he underestimated, as Rashi is saying, he underestimated, you know, the value of being in Olam Hazeh and confronting the challenges that Olam Hazeh provides for us. The hardships. Let's not just use the word challenges. They are challenges, but they're hardships. The hardships of Esav. The hardships of Adina, of Olava, and all these challenges. I would, coming off of a board meeting, I would say the hardships of a board meeting, I'm joking on both, so don't take it too seriously. They're good people, Baruch Hashem, but we all have hardships on both sides. So Yaakov felt, Genugshein, I had enough, I want to just learn Torah, I want to retire, learn Torah, which is Talmud Torah, like Kulam. But Hashem says, Yaakov, you're making a little mistake. A mitzvah done, a challenge faced with some hardship is worth so much more then a mitzvah done easily. You know, it's almost like, I think he even says, I don't recall the exact Russia, I think it simply says, yeah, he feels bad for the people that go through life and sail through without a problem. You know, guy's born to a rich family, and he gets a nice shidduch, and he spends his time, you know, hopping around the world, going on cruises, and, you know, looking over different things happening. Nebuch, the poor person, has no challenges in life. He has no hardships. He's not going to grow. We're here to grow, to face the challenges. And why? Because that's why Hashem wants to be bigger shleiman. And the bigger shleiman we accomplish based on the hardships we have, the more schar we get, and we closer we come to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we do it. Without the hardships, you know, so Yaakov Avinu, in spite of the fact that he wants to learn Torah, and Yaakov Avinu, in spite of the fact that he has so many hardships in the past, you know what? It's good for him. It's good to have the challenge of Yosef, that Yosef is being sold, because he has to deal with that, with developing bitachon and amuna, and not have kash, and not to be upset at people, whatever the das Torah is to respond to that. That's what his job was. His job was to respond in a Torah-dic way, and by doing that, he grows, and he gets more schar, and he gets close to Hashem. So is it a hard life? Yes, Rabotai. It's a hard life, but I can't. In a way, we should embrace a hard life. Now, I'm not saying we should daven for it, okay? That's a different step. I wouldn't go so far as to say that. But he does say, what he is saying is that having a hard life is not something someone should look at, even if he had a very hard life. And it's continuing. He's 75, 77 years old. I think it was 77. Is that correct? I think it was 77, or 80, I'm sorry. I think it was 84 at this time. I forgot the exact cheshbon. Maybe you'll remind me. 84 years old is still not a time for tzaddik to say, let me have an easy time. No. You have to face more challenges, get more on my buff, flex those muscles a little more. So what's done is Yaakov just it's harder both. It's hard to interpret and to come to grips with what's really happening, what Hashem's doing for us. You know, Hashem was doing a chesed for Yaakov, right? He was being nice to him, but Yaakov just, he missed a little bit. Listen, it's a very tough madrega to be on. I love everything Hashem does, and I want more. You know, to not yearn for peace and tranquility is very hard to do, but it's hard for us to see Hashem's master plan. It's hard for us to see that. So when something happens to us, right, then we go ahead and I have to go to the doctor again, and I can't pay the bill. I have to borrow money for that. And my wife is yelling when I come home, and she doesn't like a certain kind of hug I have. And every year, both said that should be a challenge that we're not trying to run away from. We have to try to deal with it. Not that we should try to perpetuate the challenge, right? I'm not saying that, but we have to try to deal with the challenge, and that's what makes us grow. You know, I'll share with you. I recently saw, and I mentioned it I have some guests here once, I think twice I mentioned it already. Just two short stories. These are very, you know, typical type stories, but they're real books. It happened to do with that from the previous generation. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, right? He was a Rav in a small town in Europe. I forget the name of the town. You guys probably know better than I do. I couldn't pronounce the word, I forgot the name of this town, but I saw the name, I never tried to pronounce it, but he comes from a small town. He had a job, he got a shtela there, he was the Rav there, and he got the job when he and his wife and had one or two small kids. The job, he was there a couple bunch of years, and after a couple of years, he has a bunch of more kids, he has a nice size family, and his wife says, Yanko, whatever, I don't know what she called him, right? Yanko, we can't support our kids, we can't take care of them, they're paying a paltry salary, and what are we supposed to do? It's crazy, we have to look for something different. Rabbi Yaakov, you know, said, if she's right, you know, we have to try to get a parnas, we have to do our shtadlus. So they looked around, and they went for probah to a much more chashava, big town shtela. You know, they had, each town had a rav. So he was in a currently small town, they paid a small amount of money, a big town pays a lot more. They hoped that if they would get the job, they would go ahead and support the family. They go to the probah, and the Baal Batin say, Rabbi Kamenetsky, we love you. You're great. And in fact, we'd sign you up on the spot, but we just can't do that because we already invited two other people for probably to try out. So I can't, it's not their cheres. I can't just tell them goodbye. I can't do that. Okay. So Yaakov goes home, tells his wife the good news that it sounds like we'll get the job. We don't have it yet for technical reasons, but we'll get the job and things will be much better. His wife was ecstatic. She was very happy. Baruch Hashem, and she meant it with every fiber of her being. A week later, and he gets a phone call. I don't know if the phone calls or a telegram or some visit, whatever. And the Baal Batin tell him, we're sorry, Rabbi Kamenetsky, but we decided to give the job to Rabbi number two over there, whatever the other rabbi who came after you. You know, whatever reason, you know, they decided to give him the job. He goes, tells his wife, oh, she's like, they're crestfallen, they're I can't use the word depressed. Don't get depressed. But they let down. What do we do now? What do we do? They decide they have to go. They have to move to America and try their hand at getting Parnassa there. So Rabbi Yaakov went by himself. He left his family behind for, I don't know, a year or two or three. I don't know how long it was. He first went to Seattle. He was a Rav there. Then he went to Toronto. He went to New York eventually. And he brought his family over. He brought his family over, and they all settled down in New York, in Williamsburg, wherever it was, right? And to Muncie eventually. But you know what happened, Rabosai? That Rav who got the job, you know, in that big town that Rabbi Yaakov was trying to go ahead and get the job, he stayed there, and the whole town was wiped out by the Nazis in Mach Shemam. So in retrospect, they realized that, you know, what we thought was terrible, that we didn't get the job and we have no parnas and we were all despondent, that we couldn't handle it, you know, was a bracha. That was the Yeshua. The Yeshua hard. It was so hard for us to see that everything that happens is B'yad Hashem. And there's a reason for it. And we don't understand why it's good for us. And sometimes we never understand. Sometimes we're lucky to figure it out, you know, sooner or later. But that's the challenge we have to have, about the challenge to see things from Hashem's perspective, from Hashem, who is a loving father, a loving mother, a loving parent who loves us so much and only does good for everybody, especially to his Klai Yisrael, to his Tyra Kinderlach. He does only good for them. So we can never be despondent. It's a challenge, a chance to grow. And it's the best thing for me. You know, Yaakov thought, you know, later, years later, in retrospect, he realized that, you know, look what happened. It was Givaldic, you know. Same thing happened with Rabbi Avraham Trapp. You know where Rabbi Avraham Trapp was, Rabbi Osai, right? The Granat son, the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal's father-in-law. So I heard this from Rabbi Welch, who told me the other story. And maybe you heard it because I heard it on one of his tapes, I think, whatever. So I think the story goes, I don't know the exact details about saying exactly correctly. Basically, he told us over that he was, you know, he was in Raden. He was involved with the Chavos Chaim Yeshiva, whatever, he lived in Raden. And when the war started, or sometime around that time, the Russians came, took over, and they went ahead and they rounded up all the rabbis in town, all the threats to their communist, you know, country, the ones who don't believe in Mother Russia, the ones who weren't atheists, right? So the leaders of the pack, the rabbis, they said, "Look, we're shipping you off to Siberia." They came, they gave instructions, taking Siberia, whatever it was. So Rabbi Avraham Trapp asked them, "What about our children? You know, what do we do with them? You know?" Said, "Well, you know, if they want to stay here, it's fine. We don't care. Do whatever you want, but we just need you and the Rebbitzin." They know what to do. So what do you do if you don't know what to do? Right? What would you do? Rabbi Yachmiel, what would you do, right, Yachmiel? Of course, you throw the Gorah Agrah, right? That's what you do, right? Take out the Gorah, take out the Gorah Agrah, take out the Chumash, and, you know, you ask Nathan Yishai how to do it, then he'll give instructions. He'll figure out with the Gorah Agrah what to do. They threw the Gorah Agrah. The Gorah Agrah said, "Guess what? Take the kids with you to Siberia." So Avraham Trapp said, "Okay, that's what we're doing." The family, the neighbors, the people, they said, "You're crazy. You're nuts, Rabbi. You can't do that. You're taking the kids. They'll never see the light of day. They'll freeze to death. They'll never come back. They won't be from who knows what. It's a disaster. How can you do that?" He says, "No, we're doing what the Gorah Agrah said." And they were all, I guess, they were. Everyone thought they were nuts. They're crazy. What are you taking? Are you taking your little tired, precious kids with you to who knows where? So what happened? So they left. They got on the train to go to Siberia. It seems, I guess, I don't know the exact year, in 1940. I'm not sure when it was exactly. The train was going, you know, chugging to Siberia. And what happens is the Russians got notice of, realized that the Germans were attacking. They had to send, you know, resupply and use all their cocos, all their manpower, all the train power to ship the supplies to the front, to restock their soldiers. So the train that Avraham Trapp and his family were on, they emptied it out. They went, they inserted, I think, some Georgian city over there, some Russian Georgian city over there. I forget the name right now. It's one of these complicated names again. I'm sorry about that. But they let them off over there. The train turned around, went to the front, did their job. But Avraham Trapp family was, you know, never got to Siberia. And eventually from that town, they got to America. You know, what happened with the people in Raden that were yelling at Avraham Trapp, hacking at their kids? They were taken over. They were wiped out by the Nazis. They were all killed out. Avraham says, "Look what happened. Chazdei Hashem. Hashem took us and sent us to Siberia. And we thought it was terrible. Everyone was yelling at us. And so how can you do such a thing?" But they both said, "We don't realize we have to bear that whatever happens to us, are both sides. It's Biyat Hashem. Hashem loves us, and it's important to try to train yourself to see things in that way. You know, to see things in a, as hard as it is, as terrible as it is, as big of a tzara it seems to be, it's Biyat Hashem, and Hashem knows what He's doing. Well, since it's Chanukah, well, so let me digress, but it's the same sugi really, right? If we have to, we can't say a drusha without discussing the famous Beis Yosef's kasha, right? The famous kasha that he asked, and I think there was maybe hundreds. I don't know. I think there's one sefer has 100 terusim, something like that. I'm not sure. There's like hundreds of terusim to this kasha. But I told it the famous one. You know, we're in Chavetz Chaim, so I don't know all the other Torahs they give. I know the famous one. So the famous kasha, as we all know, is how come the council 8 days should be 7 days? There was enough for 1 day. There was only a miracle for 7 days. So says Reb Chaim Brisker, what's this famous teretz? Famous teretz? No, the miracle was for 8 days. Why? Because it wasn't that you know the oil you know burned like it normally does the first day. And next 7 days it just you know was lit. No, he says every day, the first day, the second day, 1/8 of that little flask was used up. It was a miracle. The first day also, right? That's the famous teretz Reb Chaim Brisker. Right? But the first day also, there was an eighth that instead of normally it burnt the whole lead or whatever it was, the whole pint size oil jug, whatever, but instead only 1/8 of it burnt, and that was a miracle that day also, right? And Reb Chaim says, I'll prove it to you, right? You guys can hear me okay, right? Am I coming through okay? I'm on Bluetooth. Now, if you can't hear me, tell me if it goes out once in a while. Anyway, so Reb Chaim says, I'll prove it to you. Brings the raya, he says. It can't be that the oil burnt out totally the first day, and the next 7 days there was a flame. Why? Because you would not be the kind of mitzvah of the menorah at that point, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah says you have to have shemen zayis, right? The way he says shemen zayis, shemen that comes from an olive, but not shemen nace. Shemen nace is not shemen, that's shemen nace, right? That's Reb Chaim says. Reb Chaim says, I'll prove to you, must be every day there was an eighth of a flask of oil. And that's what burnt every day. It might have burned slower, but it was shemen was burning, as opposed to saying that the first day it all burnt out and the last days were burnt on nothing. That's shemen ace, right? You know what that means, Mr. Hertzberg, right? Right? There's a difference, shemen ace and shemen zayas, right? Two different things. That's Reb Chaim. Okay, so let me put that aside for a second, both. I want to share with you. I'll come back to that. I mean, I want to comment on that. I heard this from my father, that's all. Told us over one time, and he followed up with a comment, with a kasha, so to speak, or perspective from a different big Talmud Chacham who didn't like Reb Chaim's teretz. But I'll get back to that in a second. Let me show you the famous Gemara. You all know the famous Gemara in Tainus Daf Chaf Hei Amar Aleph. The famous of Chanina Mendoza. Remember him, Reb Osai? The whole world, right? The whole world is fed because of Chanina Mendoza, and he himself just, you know, has a little dry fig every week, something like that. That's the first part of the Gemara. But then the Gemara brings the famous case. What happened? He comes into his house one day, and he sees everyone's Friday afternoon. He sees his daughters all sad. What are you so sad? What's the problem? What are you so upset about? What's going on? Amrale says to him, Klisho chomish neskalafi b'klisho shemen. I got all mixed up. Something happened. I guess I went to the store. I went to Publix. I went to, I don't know, what is over there? I don't know what the big stores are. Wall bombs or Key Food, whatever it was. I went to Key Food. And instead of buying a flask of oil, I bought a flask of vinegar. And vinegar doesn't burn. And I put the vinegar inside the thing, and it's, you know, it's not going to work. I lit the candles, the bathroom candles, whatever. It's not working. What am I going to do? I have no oil for Shabbos. I can't make kind of mitzvah of a book of Meiros for Shabbos. So she's all upset. What do you care? What's the big deal? Famous words in Arabic, so you all know these words, right? The one who told the shemen, who instructed the oil to burn, who yomro chomas yidlok. Right? That same being, if it's Baruch Hu, I'll do the same thing with the vinegar. He can make vinegar also burn. What's the big deal? Hashem can do it all, right? He's not a weakling. He can do whatever he wants. If he makes the shemen burn, he can make the vinegar. What's the problem? What are you nervous? My echbas law. The Gemara says, and why is it burnt the whole Shabbos? Even in Havdalah from it was like a crazy, crazy mess, right? Vinegar burnt for 25 hours. So the Kasha Bos is obvious. What is going on? I don't know if my father asked the Kasha, I'm not sure who asked the Kasha, but the Kasha Bos is obvious. What is going on over here? You know, we know Ein Somuch al Neis. You can't even assume a Neis will happen. You can't even daven for a Neis necessarily, whatever, it's not going to be Shkuyosav. What's he saying over here? He's giving, I guess it was like a brach, I guess. Maybe it's davening. I'm not sure exactly what it's exactly. But he says, don't worry about it, you know. Now, he knows that vinegar doesn't normally burn, right? So he said, Hashem will do something special, make it burn. Like, how can he be so confident that it's going to burn? Vinegar doesn't happen. And this is not pikuach nefesh over here. If she has no oil, she's putter. She's putter from candle lighting. What's that? Oh, yeah, Hashem will take care of it. Don't worry about it. Hashem will make a light. Where? Who? Why? How can he feel that way? What's going on? How can he, you know, assure her? My ichbasli, it's like, what do you care, my dear daughter? It's going to burn. What's the big deal? You know, I guess it's bracha, whatever. That's a neis. Why is he asking for neis? Why is he giving bracha for neis? These things don't happen. Good kasha. Nor both say, not a bad kasha. So what's the answer of both say? The answer is, because for someone like Rav Chanina ben Dosa, at his level of Torah Hashkafa, let's be more precise. His level of Amuna, his level of Betachan, right? Ari, you heard about Betachan, Ari? You heard about what do we know the word Betachan means, Ari Solomon, right? But I was zochet to have Ari Solomon join me on, during the summer with the Chovas Avavah Shir. We used to work on together, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, but that's not the point. But Ramaisa, on his level of Betachan, Rabbi Osai, he sees everything as Yad Hashem. When he sees the candle, the oil burning, that's like, wow, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's told the oil to burn, right? There's no nature, there's no teva, there's no reason why oil should burn more than vinegar. So he sees there's a need. My wife, my daughter is all depressed, and we have some kind of Mr. Shabbos candles. He says, listen, Hashem will take care of it. What do you mean? But Hashem doesn't make vinegar. Well, what do you mean? It's the same Hashem that does both things from his perspective, not us, not me, and I don't know about you guys, but not me. By me, it's a nice vinegar burn. It wasn't a nace. It was the same exact thing, the same. If you see things from the perspective of a gadol, of Das Torah, and from Amunah B'Tochan, you see things that are happening in the world, whether it's normal or not normal, it's all the same. Right? The same as Ramban says, so the Rambam, the Motam, they say in different places that the job of Chanukah is to look at the Nisan Guyim, right, and to apply that and realize that everything else, I'm sorry, to right, Nisim Guyim, and to realize from there that everything, Nisim also, it's all Yad Hashem, everything, same thing, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one who makes the oil light is the one who makes the vinegar light, and he can do it just as easily, it's not a problem. So he says, listen, I'll give my daughter a bracha, I'll daven that, you know, this should happen, you know, you have a bracha, it's no big deal. He wasn't asking for a nace, he was asking for, you know, the same teva. There's no such thing as teva. It's all nisim. Everything is nisim. That's how Rav Chanina Dosa thought. And that's why he was allowed to go ahead. That's why he felt he had a right. And he was convinced, like, what's the big deal? You know, there's a need over here. Now, yeah, putting a good word for you to Hashem. I'm not asking for tremendous nisim. I'm asking to go ahead and, you know, that was his perspective. It's all the same on both sides. Phenomenal. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that phenomenal perspective? Now, I'm not suggesting that Shlomo Yosef Marx go ahead and tell his wife, don't worry about this zone, there's no oil in the house, put the water in, it will burn. No, because we're not in that madrega. But it doesn't mean we can't aspire to it. We have to try to see everything is B'yad Hashem. So based on that, Rabbi Osai, let's go back to Rabbi Chaim. Rabbi Chaim's teretz doesn't make any sense, Rabbi Osai. Why does it make sense? The same reason. What do you mean this is Shem and Neis? This is Shem Azai, this is Shem and Neis. Shem Azai is also Shem and Neis. It's all the same. The oil has no greater potential to burn. There's no natural inclination and ability for oil to burn more than the nace. It's all nacem, right? Hashem says oil burn. Hashem says air burn. Hashem says water burn. Hashem says vinegar burn. Let's make it all the same. So what's Rav Chaim talking about? Now we're not here to discuss. We can probably answer it. I'm not trying to slug Rav Chaim, but it's a different. This gadol felt that. He doesn't know what Rav Chaim is talking about, you know, because from perspective of B'tachon, perspective of seeing and Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who does everything, there's no such thing as Shem and Neis. Shem and Zai is also Shem and Neis, right? Why does oil burn? Okay, so Derech HaTeva, that's normal, but it's not. It's all if Hashem says you can light the menorah with the Shem and Zayis, so if Hashem says I'm going to make this burn, so it's the same thing. It's all Shem and Ace. Okay, we can ding the chudah. That's not much necessary, but that's, you know, it's a perspective which we have to have. Both it's developed that perspective. But everything, but the kuncha both is, we have to go ahead and try to see everything as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha to us. When a person has hardship, and we all, every one of us, I'm not giving you a bracha, Baruch, that's not my point, but every one of us throughout our lives will be enveloped or have to deal with your hardships, yisurim, painful situations, which we have to recognize, Hashem is giving me this. This board meeting is torturous, but this is what Hashem wants me to say the right thing, so to think not to get upset at someone, right? This Talmud is making me crazy, doesn't listen and cheer, and I get so frustrated. I said the same thing three times. And each time, Rebbe, can you please repeat it one more time, Rebbe? I missed it the first 47 times. Okay, we'll do 400 times if necessary, right? But that's our challenge. That's what Hashem wants. It's the best thing for me. To have a mitzvah done with greater hardship is so good for me. Now, I'll end up with a little story about that. I'm not going to keep you all night. It's late. I would like to go to Marv at 9:45 minyan. I say Kaddish, but okay, we'll see. Well, the Maisha both say, I heard a story, but first, set over this story. It's written, I think, Shlomo Zalman Sefer, I think. It's written, set over by Shlomo Zalman. It's a phenomenal story. It's a little scary, okay? So we're not, this is not Pesach, it's just, but just, you know, the concept, I think the same thing we're talking about. A guy, someone lost his father, and after Shiva is over, he goes to Shlomo Zalman and says, Rebbe, I want to tell you what happened. On the last day of Shiva, when he was fitting Shiva for his father, the last night, I think right before the last day, whatever, his father came to him in a dream. Okay? Now, the history behind this, before he got there, he says that this person, the father was in very bad shape for months. He was in terrible shape, in pain, in coma. I don't know exactly, but he was going to die. Rahman al-Sahad, he was a ghost face, whatever. Enduring tremendous amount of yisurim, pain, hardship, and every time the son walks into the hospital, the doctors tell him, just pull the plug, come on, Wesley, what are you causing your father pain? There's no hope, what are you doing? He says, no, I'm not going to do that. He asks the Shaila, and he's not going to pull the plug, it's wrong, you can't do that. Then, you know, but your father is suffering. No, I'm doing what's right, you know, every day, saying that finally, after who knows, I don't know, a couple of weeks, a month, 2 months, I don't know how long it was. He submits to the pressure. He relinquishes. Okay, you know, it's showing signs to now pull the plug. And it comes a while, the father died as expected, right? So he goes to Shlomo Zalman. My father came to me in a dream, the last night of Shiva. He says, Moshula, whatever the guy's name is, Moshula, I want to tell you something. Okay, when I was alive and suffering, I was it was a kapara for all my averus I did. And it was the menaka from my Gehenna, from my time I've spent in Gehenna. And you know what? If I would have been alive another couple of days and endured a couple more days of Yisurin, I would be free from Gehenna and gone straight to Gan Eden. But you, this is awesome, it's a scary story, but you pulled the plug, gave him permission. I died a couple of days, you know, when I died before a couple of days earlier. And because of that, I'm now suffering, I'm going through tremendous yisurin in Gehenna, you know, I can't get to Om HaVoyet, hopefully I'll get there eventually, but, you know, suffering it in this world is worth a lot more, it's a lot easier than suffering in Gehenna. He says, Moshua, I cannot be mocha you. I am not mocha you for pulling the plug and causing me so much yisurin in Gehenna. I'm also not trying to scare anybody, okay? That's not the point of this story. And we're not into this and we don't know, whatever. We have to follow the halacha, but the point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, knows what he's doing. When a person has yisurin, so number one, as Hashem told Yaakov Avinu, it's a challenge, it's an opportunity, it's a time for growth, a time for opportunity to get more schar, to become more of a shalem. It's the best thing for you, Hashem tells Yaakov. Same with Moshula, you know, Moshula made him this Moshula, the kid, right? He pulled the plug on the father. It was the best thing for the father to suffer. To us, does it make sense? No, we see so much pain. But you follow the halacha. The halacha guides and tells us what Hashem expects us to do. And in this situation, he made a mistake. Well, that's the kunst. The kunst is to go ahead and always try to see things from the Torah perspective, to understand, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, It's not all from him. It's like I saw an article. I saw a little piece in the Ted about 2 months ago, I think it was. And it's such a push of the hair, but it's so true. You know, people are going crazy from this, you know, corona, right? From COVID-19. They're going crazy. They don't know what's going on. They're afraid they might get sick. They lose their job. They lose their parnasa. They're stuck in the house. They're bored to death. They can't see their grandparents. They can't see their grandchildren, whatever. They're going nuts, you know? And they're like, what's going on? If they were the hair, it's not just some science or teva or some disease which they can't control. There's somebody behind it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent this COVID to us to challenge us, right? Some people who wanted Nebuchadnezzar, it was their time to leave, to go up to the Shamayim. That's for some people. Some people just to get sick. Some people not to get sick, to see if they get scared. But if you realize there's someone behind, there's someone in the driver's seat. It's not just random. There's a power. A power who loves us, who cares for us on both sides. It's a different story. We won't run scared anymore. We won't be so petrified. Oh, I'm going to lose my job. If you lose your job, Hashem picked this way to make you lose your job. This is directed at you, right? The bullet, or the map, or the electrical signal, whatever is this is your plan. Everybody is written and given an individualized plan, a life plan. And as we see it unfold in front of us, we have to realize, this is what Hashem's telling me. Hashem wants me to, Rahman Khan, lose my job. Hashem wants me to get sick. You know? Hopefully it'll be very easy. Hashem, daven, you bounce back. Hashem, help me and give me a Purush Lehmer. I know I'm supposed to daven. So Hashem, when something like this happens, if I lose my parnasah, so daven to Hashem. Do more mitzvahs, do more chesed, whatever Chazal tells us to do, that's what we're supposed to be doing. But you have to realize it's so much more comforting, so much more strength is given to us when we go ahead and realize there's a power behind this madness, there's a plan behind the madness, and it's Hashem, it's the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the vision of Hashem, it's the plan of Hashem, who loves us, knows what's best for us. We should be zocha both sides to grow with this perspective, to realize everything is beyond Hashem, and it's good for us. Don't ask me why is it good for you, I don't know why, okay? Well, I do know part of it's good for you because it's a challenge, that's why it is good for you. Why is this specific one good for you? I don't know. I can't tell you. But it's a great thing. Hope I made some sense of both. Hope you hope the connection is clear.
Yes,
guys. Very fast. I mean, I have to leave in 3 minutes. I apologize. I mean, if you guys get me going, I might have a tour not to say the other thing. I don't know, but the Pasha is, I really should be going soon. But
What's the difference between like Yaakov's Hergesh of Bikish B'Shalva and like Davening Loai the Eastern V'Chloim Run?
Okay.
Same question.
Well, that's a great question. That's a good question.
Never like had a clear like.
I'm not sure. That's a great question. I'm not sure. It could be it's only Tziat Yaakov Avino. There's if you
Yaakov,
or me.
Yaakov wouldn't see it in Davening if he was alive. Like that, where he would like skip that part.
He wouldn't have a yearning inside to just relax. The feeling you should have is, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have, that's what I want to feel. I'm not looking for one specific thing. I'm looking to face the challenge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever he wants me to do. That's what I'm going to try down his Madrega. Now, I don't think you and I are supposed to be Magish that. We can't. We're not in the Madrega. We have to try to reach that Madrega. But I think that's
because, like, Yagyu Maisel, Maisel Vilsa, then what are we dubbing for exactly?
No, that was when we dive in for slavery.
Yes, like, right? On one hand, we're trying to get to like some point, at least we have like Margish somewhat that whatever all challenges are good and they're from Hashem and so on. But at the same time, low ideas are Ruchlein,
right? Right, because Lumasho, can you learn Torah when you're sick? You can't, right? So part of my, but it's hard, right? It's much harder. You can't do as much when you have a headache, when you have to go to sleep early, you're too tired, right? So Hashem, we say, Hashem, please make me healthy, right? And should be too hard for me because I can't, right? I can't handle it, you know? But what was that? But after everything, when all that happens, I do my shtalos, I'm still sick, I say, Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem, right? And as I have to do my shtalos to get rid of it, right? As a daven for that, I should get rid of it. It shouldn't happen to me. But when it does happen, right? And when it's happening, so there's no regret, there's no nevuch, I feel so bad that Hashem didn't answer my shtalos. No, this is the best thing for me, you know? And Yaakov, even before that, even before anything happens, you know, we shouldn't be yearning because I care. I want to face more challenge that Hashem gives me. You know, even Yaakov should daven for it. I'm not saying Yaakov should daven for it, but not to feel Leish is, I want to just relax. I want to just take it. I want to have a good time. You know, no, that's, you know, what do you mean you want to have a good time? Hashem will figure out what's the best thing for you.
I mean, one of the Memchas Tvarim that Torah Nekdeis Behem is Yisur, no?
Right.
I'm not sure that would handle it. Impossible.
No. No, Yisurin, the Yisur Hashem gives you is what is the best for you. And that's how you face the challenge. You grow from it. But I'm supposed to go, but I'm afraid, I'm concerned, I can't handle the Yisurim. I'm not going to be able to learn as much Torah. So I have to ask Hashem, please don't give me the Yisurim. But when Hashem decides, I'm giving to nonetheless, because you could handle it, and I expect you to handle it, you grow from it. I don't know. Don't ask such tough questions. I don't know. Come on, give me a break. Am I wrong? I feel bad. Should I run tomorrow now? I'm serious. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think I probably should. What do you say? Nothing shy. What do you say? Nothing shy. You're in charge of it. I don't want to.
I have Marv at 9:45 also.
Yeah. Both sides. Thank you for Feyoch and Hanukkah. Thank you so much. I want to see you guys again. So I hope you
thank
come
you
back sometime.
But
thank
really,
you.
I enjoy you guys give me so much nachas. I really, I'm not joking. I'm not just saying it. You know, seeing B'nai Torah. Whatever you're doing, whether you're in business or computers or Rebbe or Mechanech or whatever it might be, Yesh Matzliach and keep on doing Ratzon Hashem, because that's all that counts. Nothing else. I don't care if you're a Rebbe, I don't care if you're a computer guy or if you're a big billionaire. Well, I do care if you're a billionaire, I won't talk to you later. But aside from that, that's my establish, right? But aside from that, I both say,
if that's the bracha, we'll take it.
Right, okay. Okay, boss. Good enough. Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
Good night.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Good night.